Caution, learning in progress.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode, our spring update episodes of Smarter Every Season. I'm Nate Burnham, and with me, as always, I got Hans Stutzman. So, Hans, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
This is the first spring update I've gotten the chance to do, so you're kind of my guiding light through this.
I don't think there's much guiding on my side. We'll just go through it.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we're excited to, you know, to be on and bring some of the updates we're seeing from field. So let's go ahead and just dive right into it.
All right.
First thing we're really going to do is kind of things that apply to all systems, whether it's Gen 2, Gen 3, on .0 or on .1. So let's first talk about, we're getting a lot of calls on SRM diagnostics.
Yeah, that's one that keeps popping up again and again. And it's something that we kind of run through every year. And it's one that we train on, but I think it's really easy. I find myself getting caught. You get that phone call and the diagnose page is red. Okay, well, what have you done? And you go through and it's like, well, what am I chasing? It's really easy to get confused about where you're headed and what you've tried and what you haven't. So good rule of thumb, just kind of some general diagnostics. Check for lights first and then break the system down, terminate the end of a backbone. My preference has always been, if you lose the bus, if you lose most of a bus or having issues where you can't communicate with something, take the terminator to the PDM, terminate the PDM and get that green, and then work your way either backbone by backbone or even row by row if you have to. Unplug and go to the end of the first backbone, unplug all the rows and get row one green. I've seen that. I've gotten caught by that several times this spring already.
Okay.
Where it's just too much. It's like you can't get any of the first backbone. Well, start with row one and see what you get.
Yeah. And then it seems like we get calls on case 2100 series.
Yep. How do you diagnose
yeah,
that?
Yeah, how do we diagnose those? Because so, it seems like whenever I get that call, I freak out a little bit, yep. Right?
On those, the way I would approach it is still similar. You can't necessarily move the terminator on those, but you can go through row by row. So isolate it down to... They still have the PDM, it's still the first one on the bus. Mm-hmm. So you can go through and you can unplug each row if you need to. And then, and you can split it left or right.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can break it down at least in half.
You can break it down, generally break it down in half. So that's generally the rule. Like a K system, you're not going to move the terminator. You get to unplug a lot more plugs that way with the 2100 series, but it's still a way to work through and get it to identify row one, row two, row three, mm-hmm. and work your way up with it.
Okay. Let's talk updating. We're seeing a lot of guys doing some updating, and one of the common things is, what do I lose? How do I avoid losing my configs or whatever it may be? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so generally, you're not going to lose stuff when you update. There are a couple key software changes. If you go from .0 to .1, obviously, there's going to be some things that you'll have to reset up when you get done. Anything from 2020, I think it's 2021, up there, if you go from 2021 to 2022, there's a prescription boundaries that will get wiped if you're back several years old. Otherwise, we're really not going to wipe much stuff out of your configurations. Now, there is, anytime you're doing an update to a display, there is a chance you could run into some issues with it. My rule of thumb is this: you get a guy that's updated before you run the update, I would export the configs. That's always nice to have a config backup in the cab before you, just in case something does happen. It's not saying that something will happen.
Right.
It's not to create panic or concern about it. It's just that those are safeguards that you can have in place that if something does go wrong, you have a backup for it.
Yeah. Whole lot easier to throw that USB in and hit import than it is to
reconfigure everything.
Setting everything up.
It takes about 30 seconds to actually do it. I love the idea of, if you finally get everything, you're before he takes off and goes to the field. Mm-hmm. That first time you're going to feel, okay, you've got everything set up, you're ready to go, export that config and save that part of that first day in field type of scenario. Export the config and save it before they take off. That way they've got a copy, you got a copy. I know it's hard to do, to make sure you need to do it, because you finally got everything set up and tested and running, and it's like, oh, great, I'm ready to go. He's chomping a bit to hop in the cab and take off. Just pause him for a minute and export those configs, because it's just a very good insurance policy.
Yeah. And to tag on to that too, I know I hit this really hard in training, but save the configuration in the display
as
well.
That's a very good option, because it will be there. You can pull that back in, load the profile, and you're back in business with it.
Absolutely. Okay. Couple calls that I've gotten and heard others get is my DVM or my display isn't powering up in the morning, or for the first time this year. Let's talk about the convenience port diagnostics. What all do we need there?
Yeah, so there's three. Normally on our convenience port, there's a three-pin power port, and that is ground, obviously, and then there's key switch and constant power in those. And generally what can happen in those, if the Gen 3 is missing constant power, you're going to struggle with getting it to come on. Or if you're missing key switch, you're going to struggle to get it to come on. We want to see both of those to get it to come on. On a Gen 2, if you're missing constant power but you have key switch, the system will power on, but it'll go straight to a white screen. And you won't actually see anything at that point. Now, on that harness, there is an option to switch the two leads together. And you can, those little spade connectors on that harness will fix that issue if you're missing constant power. But the diagnostics on that is if you're seeing power issues or making a double check, make sure you get power on both ports. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that is then that I've seen this, if those two ports are flip-flopped in the cab, and that sounds odd that the manufacturer would flip those ports. Quite frankly, we've seen it more than once.
Weirder things have been known.
I've seen it on brand new tractors come out, run rolling off the factory, and that those two, the power, the constant and key switch are flip flopped. If that's the case, it's more than likely that you can see stuff, especially with Gen 2s. You'll see it power all the way back to the PDM, and you'll see lights on the system even though the key switch is off.
Gotcha. So not only check what's going on in cab, but also check what's going on behind the planner.
Yep, because it can go through there.
Okay. Okay. Hot topic up in the office lately has been client farm field.
Yeah.
What we can import, how do we export it out of different programs? Let's talk through that.
Yep. So there's a couple things. First of all, let's say you have it in a Gen 2 system. If you do a export crop config from a Gen 2, you can then import that into a Gen 3 using the Gen 2 import. So Gen 2, we want the Gen 2 on 2020.0.1 or later, 2020.0.4 would fine. But you export the crop config, import Gen 2 config on the Gen 3. That will work. That'll bring client farm field structure across. So other things into a Gen 3, you can import from Gen 3 to Gen 3, mm-hmm. account config, that comes straight across. SMS, yes, you can use it as a third-party import into from SMS into the Gen 3. You need to make sure that's a setup file from the Gen 3. Okay. When you export it from a Gen 3, from the SMS, make sure it's set up as a setup file for Gen 3. JD Op Center does not import into Gen 2 or Gen 3. The only way to get it from Op Center to the 2020 is to go through FieldView, or export it to an SMS system and then come through from another place. But that's the only way to get it in from Op Center
into the Gen 3.
Into the Gen 3 or into a Gen 2. Right. FieldView itself will push to a Gen 2 and Gen 3 as long as config changes are enabled on the display.
Okay. And we're talking when we actually hardwire those together.
Yep. We hardwire them together, plug them together. It goes through the FieldView module, dumps it into the display.
Awesome.
Am I missing one?
I don't think so.
Gen 2 will function roughly the same as SMS on the Gen 3 side as far as what it'll accept from SMS. Oh, yeah. Side note on Gen 2. Gen 2, if you're coming from SMS into Gen 2, you will need to go back to 17.4 on the Gen 2 to read the SMS setup file.
Correct, yeah. I like how we both had that written down, but it was at the bottom of our
sheet. It was above our sheet. It was actually below the list of stuff to cover. So on a Gen 2, if you're coming from SMS, take it back to 17.4, import it, and then you can update again if you want to.
Okay. I think that does do it.
I think it should cover it. I know there's a lot of stuff going on there in a little bit. I know we rolled through that real fast, but that's kind of the rundown on how to get client farm field structure in.
Okay. We don't have a whole lot for .0 specific. In fact, mm-hmm. I really think it's only one thing. So we talked a little bit about liquid pressure module last week mm-hmm. on our spring updates. Let's talk about just the rate control modules in general and .0. So when we're setting up specifically an HD system, what do we have to have?
Yeah, so obviously if we're controlling the pump, the rate controller has to be there to control the pump. The question where we really start to run into is the uncontrolled pump. So that's the ground drive system or a direct run hydraulic drive through a controlling it with the SCV valve or something like that. On those systems, we still need to have the HD controller set up or the rate controller set up, even though there's not one present. If you don't have one installed, the diagnose page is going to be red, but that has to be there in order for the HDs to open.
Right. And we would like, I think ideally, to have one with a pressure sensors, so we can use it for diagnostics.
That's the preference, is we actually have a pressure sensor.
Looks pretty.
Correct.
Yep. But we have to have it regardless.
We have to have it regardless. You have to have it set up regardless. We want one there for diagnostic purposes for pressure, but even if you don't have one, you at least need to set it up. The HDs will not open. It looks very weird because the diagnosed piece will be green, but the system won't open without without the right controller.
Yep. And it's an easy thing to forget when setting up a liquid planner. Like, yep. Okay, I got everything that's installed. Okay, great. Hey, why can't I even do a manual health check?
Yep.
Okay. That's all we had for .0, so let's jump right into .1. We have something new coming for .1. It's going to pertain to sprayers.
Yep.
Hugely. So hugely. Let's talk through that.
So sprayers 1.6 is coming. It should be out today. And quite frankly, the important thing is if you're on a sprayer, you need to be on this. This is for several things with OEM pass-through control and as far as just general updates on the sprayer system as well. We want that to be, you guys to be on that software going forward. That is important if you're on a sprayer. So that's the biggest thing. There's a couple other things in there related to tank mix as well. Mm-hmm. That are improvements to the system. They are different than what it was previously in 1.5. So that's both planters and sprayers on 1.5 on that scenario. But that is something else to take a look at as well.
Okay. On the topic of updating to 1.6,
mm-hmm.
I think we threw in there the comment, and I know I talked about it in training, but if we're running .1, keep up on the updates. Yep.
I can't stress it enough. If you're on 1.6, if you're on the one version branch of software, stay on top of it, those email updates, and make sure if you have customers on that, make sure that they are aware of when there's an update. We want them on that new update. There's enough stuff changing for fixes and bugs that we need to keep moving with it.
Yep. And one of the biggest things, we got to validate that it was a fix.
Yeah.
Because I'd hate to see a guy, struggling with, hey, this won't work. And yep.
So if you do update the latest software and it doesn't fix it, please let us know.
Definitely let us know.
Let us know. Yep.
Okay. Let's come back to the liquid systems. Mm-hmm. I've seen this a couple times in .1 setups, but selecting a rate control module for .1 liquid systems.
Yeah, there's four options in there. And it's important that you get it correct. So there's two different ones there's two different modules, mm-hmm. two different module actual shapes and part numbers, and there's two different modes. There's the base option and the HD controller option for the rate controller. Those are very important to get that correct. They will not function if you have them, will not control the pump correctly if you have them set up for the wrong one. So it was covered in training. We talked about it in training again. It's just once you start getting in there, it's really easy. It's like, that's the module that I have, and you hit it, and it's the wrong style of control. It might be the right module, wrong style of control. Right hardware piece, but wrong control style.
Yeah, so we're matching both pictures because we have pictures in there of the different modules, but then also the way I kind of think of it is, do I have HDs on the planter? Yes, I do. Okay, I want HD mode.
Yes.
When you think about it that way, it's pretty simple and cut and dry.
Yep. But make sure, and it is important that you get the module. Like if you're not sure which module it is, go back and look, because it does matter which module it is.
Yes. And it is still required.
It is still required.
To have one, whether we're controlling that pump or not.
Does not, yes. Yep.
Okay. So still have to have it set up at least.
Still have to set it up.
All right. We're not super deep into the weeds of doing this quite yet, but it is coming, and that's changing crops. And especially on .1, it's a little different. Yeah.
Yeah. So normally we could, because the crops tab's not there in .1, it's a little more process. You change the crops in the field setup. That's mm-hmm. where you change the documentation piece of crops.
The active crops.
The alerts page will go with that once you change the alerts, but the alerts will always default to the first time you set up a crop, it's the old defaults. So you will want to go in and make sure you change the alerts, make sure they have the right correct numbers for the crop that you're planting. And then also, as far as the configuration, that won't change your effective row spacing or your control spacing. If you've got an odd row planter, if you have a split planter or something like that, you need to make that change in your equipment tab. And then seeds per disc. If you want to change, when you change crops, you're probably changing seeds per disc. You're probably changing a couple other settings. Those are done at the module settings. So you got to go into systems, select the V drive, go through the process, and then select the disc that you're going to, and make sure you assign that to all rows that you have changed the disc on. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's the last page of the V-Drive setup.
It is the last page of the V-Drive setup.
Continue a couple times. Don't change any of the other
settings. Don't change the
settings,
but go all the way through the system to get to there.
And this is a great time to bring back the comment I made earlier of saving configurations.
Yes.
It would be very helpful if someone were to have multiple configurations for different crops to just go ahead and save those in the equipment tab so we're not having to remember, oh, I got to change it here, here, and here. Yep. You can go to your setup, equipment, planter, save load, and load that configuration.
Correct. Yep.
All right. Am I missing anything, Hans?
That's all. It's the bottom of my sheet. I don't have any extra notes written down the bottom, so I think that's it.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. As always, keep letting us know what's going on in field, and we will see you again or talk to you again next time.
All right.